The weekend is near, and the next round of footy is finally upon us. And your ultimate guide to all the upcoming action lies within the Fox Footy Podcast Bunker. Welcome to Match Committee.
Well, in the words of Europe, we're on the final countdown towards the end of the 2017 AFL season, kicking off with round 14. West Coast and Melbourne is going to be a fascinating contest, and we've got a member representative from either side in the studio today to have a look at what is going to be a massive encounter at Subiaco Oval on Saturday night, with the Demons potentially pushing for that top four spot and the Eagles as well. But plenty of other games, a full round of games to go through on the Thursday Match Committee here in the Fox Footy Podcast Bunker. G'day everyone, I'm Ben Waterworth, and the regular Thursday team has reassembled for the first time. You know, I can't remember how long. Firstly, let's welcome podcast extraordinaire Tom Morris on the other side of the desk. Hello over there, Thomas.
Hello, Benny. Thank you for having me, and welcome back from Europe.
Thank you.
Very good to hear your dulcet tones again.
Hence the Europe suggestion at the start of the podcast as well. And of course, the rising star. No, he is the superstar of the Fox Sports News team, and he's back on in the podcast bunker for the first time in a couple of months. Drew Jones. Hello, Drewza.
Thanks for having me. We're in the new digs, yes, which I'm really enjoying. Very self-indulgent Europe reference
it
there,
is.
Ben. Great stuff.
Get over yourself, Benny. We love Europe, but we're back in Melbourne. Now we can talk about footy.
And we've all been saving over a hot kitchen of the AFL season.
Did you have a good trip, Benny?
I had a great time. Wearing shorts and T-shirt every day and sunscreen galore.
What was the highlight?
Coming back and seeing you in the office on Monday there,
very good.
Thomas.
He's back, Drew.
Yes. Let's get straight into the podcast as well with the Match Committee big call. So any player from any club who you think should come in or out for round 14, starting with you, Tommy.
Yeah, look, I'm going Melbourne here. There's obviously a couple of spots to be taken up at the Demons due to injury rather than form after last week's excellent win against the Western Bulldogs. And I think the Ds should hand Jack Trengrove a spot in their senior team to play
Jack.
West Cove. Now, he played three games last year. He's had well-documented troubles with injuries before then in his foot. But his VFL form has been at career best levels, averaging 24 disposals per game, played 9 games, 2 goals per game as well, and 6 tackles.
Right.
I just reckon it might be a little bit on the emotional side of things, why he deserves to get back in. But I reckon they got to work out whether he's good enough or not. And if you give him 2 or 3 games now, mid-season...
So he's not past it?
Well, I don't think he's past it. It's just whether he's better than the blokes that are in. Look, if he didn't step up to the challenge in the next 2 or 3 weeks, then his papers are probably stamped. But it needs to be now. It can't be round 18, round 20, round 22 heading into finals.
Your Match Committee big call there, Drewza?
I think the Dogs should drop Tom Boyd. They should lead the ruck with...
Premiership hero.
Probably should have been the Norm Smith medal winner, Drew. No more than, 8 months ago?
This is the whole problem with the Western Bulldogs. They're harping back to the Premiership too much.
Not...
And Luke Beveridge has tried to put it in the past.
Okay.
Clearly that's not happening. Tom Boyd took one mark last week. It's not good enough.
Do you bring in Tim English or something?
No, Jordan Ruffhead leads the ruck. And you bring Jack Redpath in, who...
Why was he dropped in the first place, Jack Redpath?
I don't understand why, because he came back, he kicked 3 goals in his second game after his third ACL recovery. I think that he's underrated, even maybe by the club, with his forward pressure.
Right.
He's a presence up forward, he can kick goals, and he can run through the ruck if they need to. Jordan Ruffhead's a great ruckman, let's leave him there. Tom Boyd needs to do more. He won a lot of hit-outs last week, but that's not my concern. He needs to take more marks. He was playing against a team without a ruckman.
My question to you is, Drew, how many statements is too many for a coach to make? Because they surely wear thin after a while when you continue to drop Premiership stars.
Yeah, but if they're not playing good enough or the system isn't working, then you've got to change something. And I think at the moment, the mix, they've got to get back to what they were doing last year. So I think Lucas Webb should come in, and Clay Smith, who's playing well in the VFL, and just... One on yours.
Yes.
Big fan of Jack Trengrove. If you tune into my story tonight about Melbourne, you'll have
AFL
more.
Tonight.
Yeah, you'll have more Medium news. Season. More news on that.
Excellent.
Check that out at AFL tonight. That'll be on 5 PM Fox Sports News and 7 PM on Fox Footy as well. Just before we get into the agenda, a post game predicted headline ahead of this weekend, Thomas. What's yours?
Mine is relating to the Swans v Dons.
Yes,
and Swan song all but over is my headline. I think the Dons will win at the SCG. The Swans don't have a great record this year at the SCG for the first time since I can remember, and I think the Dons will win, and that will effectively shut the door on the Sydney's finals campaign. Not mathematically, but it's going to be very, very tough if they lose this week.
They lost to Port Adelaide round one, Hawthorn recently, and Collingwood in between that as well. So they have been a little bit shaky.
Surprising, isn't it?
Uncharacteristically at the SCG.
And I love the Dons, Benny. I think they're playing terrific footy.
Drewza?
I literally had Swan Song as mine as well.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
But nothing like a pre-production meeting.
But I can come up with one on the spot if you want me to.
Yes.
I'll say Rising Suns.
Right.
And that would mean that St Kilda will not make the finals if they lose that game.
That's going to be a big story if St Kilda Sunday don't get evening. Up for that one. Mm. Yeah, that's going to be a big game. Gary Ablett's 300th. We'll get to that towards the end. But seeing as we've got a representative from both the Eagles and the Demons in the Fox Footy podcast bunker today, let's have a look at the West Coast Eagles and the Demons. This is for the Phil Reid Cup on Saturday night. So looking forward to this one. Both sides 7-5, and they're in that top four vicinity. But there'll be a lot of pressure, obviously, on the Eagles to win this game back at home. We all know the reliance that they have in terms of a ladder position to continue to bank those home wins. But Tommy, for mine, I reckon there's just as much pressure on the D's to win this weekend. If they want to be considered a genuine finals chance, let alone top four chance as well, this is the kind of game that they need to win and stand up and make a statement.
Yeah, the difference between a win and a loss here for the D's is huge. If they win, everyone will stand up and go, yep, they are a genuine top four chance, maybe even a premiership chance. The whispers are around after the Bulldogs game last week, but this would confirm and solidify those thoughts. A loss, and a bad loss especially, would make people think this is the same old Demons. Now, they do have injuries in their squad, and we know that Max Gawn comes back. It is a tough mountain to climb, but I think the Demons are as well positioned to win in Perth as they have been in 15 years now. They are playing such good football, and even though the Eagles beat Geelong, they are inconsistent at the moment, the Eagles, and it's a real problem for them away and home.
The D's, Druza, haven't beaten a WA side in Perth since round 11, 2004. It's a decent losing streak.
John Howard was Prime Minister.
Yeah, it's been a while between drinks for the D's over in WA, no doubt about that. In fact, I remember the last time they beat us over there, Glenn Jakovich was playing forward for West Coast.
Was he really?
But was it 0-1 or something?
I disagree with you on the D's. If they lose to West Coast, it's not same old D's. This is a hard game to win for any side, and it's hard to win away from home no matter who you're playing. I think most likely it will be quite similar to last season where the D's were good on the day but just weren't good enough to get it done. If they play that well again, I wouldn't be surprised if they execute better and win the game. But West Coast, I think, turned a little corner against Geelong, a bit more physical, which I liked. And if they start actually processing all of that physicality and put the score on the board a little better, which they've struggled to do at times this year.
And I was going to ask you about that, because they have only scored over 100 points three times this year. Mm. A couple of years ago, West Coast and Hawthorn made the grand final, but clearly were the two best attacking teams in the competition. Three times they scored over 100 points, and with Josh Kennedy contributing in most of those games as well. He's probably not going to play this weekend. Is that a big concern, the lack of scoring?
Absolutely, and the guys who you look in the forward six, Lacroix, Cripps, Hill, all haven't delivered this season, all playing below their best. So that doesn't surprise me that the scoring's down. They need contributions from the midfielders, getting like someone like a Gaff, a Shuey kicking a couple of goals, contributing more to the forward setup, because they've been a little bit impotent. Darling, who played well last week despite not putting the score on the board, he traditionally kicks less goals when Josh Kennedy's not playing, so you can't rely on him to kick a bag.
That's my point about Melbourne and West Coast by extension. I think West Coast are vulnerable anyway, but without Josh Kennedy, I think they're super vulnerable, and I think Melbourne should expect to win this as a result. He is so important to them, Josh Kennedy. They don't keep big scores, and Melbourne has a number of players who can kick multiple goals.
How big is it that Luke Shuey has been locked away until the end of 2022, Druza?
Yeah, well, he's the next captain, potentially next season, I would think.
Next season?
Yeah, he's a really, really good player, has probably learnt to fight through being tagged, which I guess is a part of any midfielder's sort of graduation into elite status. He's a good person, and he's often a barometer in terms of his stats will align with a West Coast win, and has done for a large part of his career. So happy to see him locked away. I mean, we had an issue with keeping Victorian players for a while, obviously headlined by Chris Judd. West Coast put a lot of work into the young Eastern States players at that time, and Luke went through a tough time when he first joined the club. Lost his sister in a car accident and had grueling injuries for 2 or 3 years. So I'm glad to see both sides of the party sort of repaying the faith. And he'll be a West Coast player for life.
Well, the Eagles will be without Josh Kennedy, but the Demons will be without Nathan Jones, not only this week, but potentially up to a month and a half after that quad injury, Tommy, on against the Bulldogs on the weekend. Jack Watts is a 50-50. He's going through a fitness test basically as we're recording this at the moment. And Max Gawn will be back in the side. Mm. So the question is, where does that leave Cam Pedersen, who officially, according to the AFL player ratings, has been a top 10 AFL player since round six, which is just remarkable.
It's a really interesting question, and we discussed this on Monday's podcast as well. Pedersen, where it leaves Pedersen is in the team, just maybe in a slightly different role. He is no longer, in inverted commas, the number one ruckman. But he can certainly play forward, especially without Jesse Hogan in the team. He can be a key forward and helping out in the ruck. It probably just means Tom McDonald won't play a role in the ruck at all. That's all it means for him in the short term. In the medium to long term, when Jesse Hogan and Gawn are both back in the team, I'm certain that Pedersen can still keep his spot, but it'll just be in a lesser role. But that doesn't mean he's going to be any less effective. It just means he gets probably a slightly lesser defender, and he can still be this player he is now. He got 24 touches against the Dogs last weekend and was super. He's really come along, and it's one of those key examples of a player that Melbourne's brought in recent years that's been a big tick, whereas 5 years ago they brought in a whole heap of players that were big crosses. Just another little tick towards their list management committee.
Excellent player of the last few weeks for them. He will play this weekend. In a role, as you suggested, up forward. When Jesse Hogan comes back, that's clearly an issue in how you fit him in. I think he's got a lot of currency.
So do I,
At 30 years, you're 30 years of age?
I reckon for the next 2 years, as it's one of the hardest positions to fill in your team is someone who can ruck 20% of the game and then play forward and be effective.
The Josh Jenkins-style role.
Yeah, and then someone who, if your main ruckman went down and you didn't want to bring in a reserve ruck only, you can go with him as a full-time ruckman. So he would have a role to play at a club that perhaps is looking for a premiership if Melbourne wanted to go that way.
I love his story. He's an aggressive journeyman, and they're the sort of players that can just pop up at a premiership sometimes and you think, geez, where's he come from? But he would deserve it as much as any player in the AFL to play in a flag.
It's interesting, he got a bake earlier in the year when he was playing in the VFL. Simon Goodwin had a go at him for chasing too many cheap kicks.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The other thing about, if you compare Watts and Nathan Jones, I think Watts is far more valuable to Melbourne than Nathan Jones. And it sounds ridiculous because Nathan Jones is the co-captain and wins so much of the ball.
In career best form, too.
In career best form. But to me, Jack Watts is probably Melbourne's second most valuable player after Max Gawn. They need him to play. His finishing is so classy in an AFL perspective, not just in a Melbourne perspective. And they need him to be fit for this game and every important game after that.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating contest, and looking forward to seeing your tips or hearing your tips a little bit later on in the podcast. But before we get into that, let's have a look at Carlton and Richmond for the Sean Hampson pennant on Sunday afternoon. And I'm just trying to think back to the last time these two clubs had such a big game, and surely it's almost that 2013 elimination final, infamous, the Chris Judd game, basically, as it has become known. One of the great days, I think, for a non-Richmond supporter, I think, that day, Thomas.
Yeah, when the Tigers have won the last five versus the Blues, is what would surprise me when I saw that, including a round one win. I think there's no doubt that the Tigers on paper are a better side, but the Blues are difficult to defeat and defeat heavily, aren't they? They're not an easy team to score against, and they're well coached, and they're playing some quite good football, the Blues. Their win against the Gold Coast last week was super. Bryce Gibbs is in great form, and I wouldn't discount the Blues here, but if they beat the Tigers, it would be a real shot to the Tigers, especially given their patchy form in the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Now, I just want to revisit what was said on the Monday podcast. What was the contract offer you said that Liam Jones should receive?
Happy to talk about this, and I discussed this with Champion Data as well on Monday afternoon.
Right.
I think Liam Jones, if his form continues, that's the asterisk here, if his form continues as it is, as it has been the past 2 weeks, should receive a 2-year deal at probably $370,000 to $400,000 a year. Now, we think that's a lot of money, but $370,000 is the norm from next year. And also, a lot of people say, oh, he's not worth that. But other clubs will offer 2 years for him. If he's uncontracted, they will come with 2 years. Carlton will have to match it. Good key defenders who can spoil and run and mark don't grow on trees. People might laugh at that because Liam Jones, but we've got to approach him as a new player. This isn't the old Liam Jones. This is a new key defensive Liam Jones, Drew.
Yeah, I don't know if he's got
Do you disagree?
I don't know if he's got the body of work yet.
No, this is what I'm saying hypothetically, if his form continues. Yeah. If he plays 3 good months as a key defender, as one of the best in the AFL, he's not worth a 1-year deal. He's worth two. And his management, they would not settle for that. That would be foolish to settle for that.
They've still got Lachie Plowman, Harrison McCreadie coming through, Caleb Marchbank.
Yeah, he's better than all them. At the moment.
Oh, he's better than all them.
At the moment.
Marchbank's almost favourite for rising star.
I like Caleb Marchbank, you're right. But Liam Jones, at the moment, I mean, who can argue his past fortnight hasn't been as good as any key defender in the AFL except for maybe Alex Rance?
It's a fortnight. Well, it's a 2 weeks of footy. It's a fortnight. I think you need to calm
and
down.
That is my asterisk, of course. But his VFL form before then was, and we say VFL, it was ridiculous. He gave Josh Bruce an absolute bath for Sandringham Northern Blues game. And Josh Bruce is an AFL key forward. So it's not just a tiny body of work. I admit it's a small sample size, but I rate him highly.
Ed Curnow put his hand up for the Dustin Martin role yesterday in his press conference at an AFLPA event there, Druza. Last time that Dusty played the Blues, he had a lazy 33 disposals and 4 goals.
He should have kicked 6, laid off 2.
Likely 3 Brownlow votes as well. Does Ed go straight to Dusty here?
Jeez, I love Ed Curnow. He's a great bloke, and I'd like to see the matchup. Personally, I would never, ever, ever, ever put my hand up to tag Dustin Martin.
Intimidating task, wouldn't
you'd
it be?
You'd have a sore sort of upper chest, wouldn't you, from the fend-off.
And unfortunately, it doesn't really matter what you do. You're going to end up getting goals kicked on you, possessions had, and you're going to end up on a poster somewhere with a hand on your throat. Even talking to Sam Doherty a few weeks ago, I said about them potentially having a go at getting Dustin Martin. He said, I'd love to see the fend-off up close, you know, as a teammate, as opposed to like in round one when he got me right in the throat, pushed me to the ground. I think, it's just, would be no fun playing on Dustin Martin.
Is it a win? Obviously, Brownie on the couch a couple of weeks ago heavily linked Josh Kelly with Carlton. Mm. If you had a choice between Dustin Martin and Josh Kelly, it's I suppose it's a win-win, but is there one player that probably suits him a little bit more?
That's the question that's been floating around while you were floating around Europe. Kelly or Martin? I still think Kelly's going to end up being a better player than Dustin Martin. It depends what you're looking for now, where your list is at, I think.
Kelly's like your all-inclusive, full club man. He can speak, he'll be your captain, and you probably get him a little cheaper and for longer.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be... I'd be happy with either, Ben. Yeah.
Oh, it's a win-win for both sides, no doubt. Now, you mentioned the Swans and the Dons a little bit earlier on in your post-game predicted headline there, Thomas. Of course, for the Ted Richards Trophy on Friday night. The ladder since round 7. If you were to do a ladder just from round 7 onwards, the Swans would be on top of the ladder with the best win-loss ratio, 5-1. They've got the best attack in the competition, averaging 102 points, and conceding only 70 points per game, which is the best defence in the competition. The actual ladder after round 12 might not necessarily recognise that, but the way they're playing, these guys are back in the finals race.
Absolutely, they are. And I think Max Lawton mentioned it in last week's podcast. They're a good chance to play finals, especially if they can win this week. It might be a little bit against the grain that Drew and I are suggesting that the Dons are a good chance, but I really like Essendon. Even though their midfield is ranked quite low, I think Joe Danaher is just as good as Buddy Franklin at the moment in many ways. Probably not his kicking's not, probably not quite as straight, although I think he's kicked, well, up until last week, he kicked 21-2 since he kicked 0-6 against Melbourne earlier in the year. So it hasn't been as bad as you'd think. And the Swans, I mean, the reality is they're very good, but they are ageing as well. Kieran Jack's not the player he was. Jared McVeigh's in and out of the team because he's a veteran. Dane Rampey isn't playing the football that he was. I still rate him highly. They're just not quite gelling as I thought they would, the Swans, this year. But in saying that, you know, they're still a quality team. It just might be too steep a hill to climb to play finals. They've got to win so many games in a row to get themselves back up there.
Jeez, they were terrible in the first half against Richmond last week.
Yeah.
And they were very, very good in the second half, albeit Richmond let them back into the game.
Yeah, how much did you take out of that? Do you think it was more the Tigers letting them back in?
It's a bit of both, as always. I was really impressed with Callum Mills last week in the second half. He's an absolute superstar. He's only played, 28 games of footy. I think I agree with what you said. The veterans probably aren't producing what they need to. They're getting
aside from Josh Kennedy.
They're getting a fair bit out of some of their mid-tier players, which is important. But Essendon have just really impressed me lately. When they're good, geez, they're really,
their
really good.
Their best has been outstanding this year.
Yeah, it is.
And Ben, I've got a question for you.
Yes,
name me a better 23 or under forward midfield duo in the AFL than Zach Merritt and Joe Danaher.
23 and under.
Yeah.
Immediately went to the Bont at the Dogs, but there's, you know, Dalhouse is probably a little bit older than that.
But they have to be a forward midfield duo. They are 15-year players. They're going to grow up together and be unbelievable for a long time.
What about Josh Kelly, Jeremy Cameron?
Yep, I'll give you that. Yep, well played. So Essendon in the top 2 in that regard. But, you know, that illustrates just how good these two are. Zach Merritt's the best and fairest winner. Joe Danaher is potentially the next Buddy.
I know you were going to mention this. We were talking about this on the way here there, Druzo, but we're obviously the poster Hall of Fame podcast. And if I think you sort of set us a task to name a player or a couple of players in the AFL at the moment under 25 who could end up being future Hall of Famers. And the first person that came to my mind was Zach Merritt.
So are we doing this right now?
Let's do it right now. Let's do it right now.
Okay, so just on the theme of Hall of Fame week, Julian Stoop and I yesterday went through who we think the current players who might end up in the Hall of Fame are.
Yep.
So we got Nick Riewoldt.
Yep.
Absolutely. Probably a legend.
Luke Hodge.
Yes.
Cyril Rioli.
Yes.
Norm Smith. A-Rod's nodding.
Yeah. yes. Yeah.
Sam Mitchell.
Yes.
Yep.
Gary Ablett.
Yes.
300 game this week.
Will he be a legend before Gary Ablett Sr. that was discussed last night? Interesting.
Buddy Franklin.
Yes.
Joel Selwood.
Yes.
Patrick Dangerfield.
Yes.
Yes.
Sean Burgoyne is an interesting one.
Yeah, I reckon. Yes. He's four-time premiership player.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Scott Pendlebury.
Yes. I mean, eventually. I mean, this might be 15 years down the track, but yes.
The body of work's pretty good when you look at all Australians, best and fairest.
How do you compare Pendlebury and Joel Selwood, disregarding the premierships, as players?
I'd take Joel, but I love watching Scott.
Yep.
Eddie Betts is an interesting one.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Because he's one of the best small forwards of all time, but he perhaps hasn't got the accolades that you can list off.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. I think he needs two more years of good work.
The contribution that Betts has made of the game is not just on field as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like he's got a pocket named after him. You know, stuff like that. Jordan Lewis is an interesting one. He's got a lot of accolades, but he's not a superstar player.
It's a good list of players.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure Jordan Lewis is a Hall of Famer.
Stevie J.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been one of
Norm
the best.
Norm Smith.
It's a really good. Yeah, I think so.
One of the best mid forwards of the modern generation. Yep. And Alex Rance is another interesting one. Won't end up with the premierships, but he's got the All Australians, the best and fairest, and one of the best defenders of modern times.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's just an overview of the current players.
It's a great list.
So then the task was come up with a player under 25 who you think will end up in the Hall of Fame.
I think Zach Merritt will be there. What he's doing at 21 years of age already is quite unbelievable. I think he'll get plenty of personal accolades, and if Essendon does get to hopefully where they want to be as a team, that will just help his case.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think Josh Kelly, we've mentioned him before. Josh Kelly's a superstar. But I think Zach Merritt is the best young player in the competition.
And above the Bont?
I'd put him above Bont because I think he uses the ball slightly better. I think Bontempelli's decision-making is terrific, but I think Merritt rarely misses a target. And I still enjoy watching him. I'm a bit biased, but I still enjoy watching Zach Merritt more than pretty much anyone.
You have one, Druzo?
Yes. Marcus Bontempelli, 100% efficiency in the grand final.
Yes, true.
Bontempelli is one that comes straight to mind for me, already having such a massive impact on the game at such a young age. Merritt, I like. Josh Kelly, I like. And then the other one to throw in there, Nat Fyfe.
Oh, yes.
Christian Petrarca?
Very early.
Too early for mine. Anyway. Speaking of the Bont, good to... And thank you for bringing that up, Druzo. That's a ripping list of names. Speaking of Bont, his Dogs have had a rough week.
Oh.
No pun intended.
It's their own fault.
It's been a really rough week for the Dogs. And I think for the first time in his coaching tenure, Luke Beveridge is not fully, but somewhat being put under the microscope. And in terms of direction of the club and the unity of the playing group, the Dogs have now lost four of their past five games, but it was the way they lost to Melbourne, which was very concerning, Druzo. And they've got a huge game against North Melbourne, who really pushed them on Good Friday earlier this year.
Bermuda Triangle, their forward line, get it in there, and then they find ways to not kick goals.
Yeah, it's a great call.
Yeah, they had more inside 50s than Melbourne. It was 8 goals to 2 points or something. Something ridiculous like that. It's just not happening for them. I mean, we discussed it a little bit earlier, talking about Tom Boyd going out of the side. And maybe that's not the answer. That's just a suggestion. But, they're not playing the footy they were last year. They've had injuries. They've had drops of form. But they had them last year as well. Mm. They went through a lot. And they managed to find a way to win. They were in every game. And I think now their last two games, they've been put away, which is something we haven't associated with the side since Luke Beveridge has taken over.
Let's imagine for a second that they lost the preliminary final last year to GWS and they are where they are now. There's no way there'd be the microscope on the Bulldogs. No. Now, we understand that didn't happen. They won the flag, so as a result, there's more pressure on them. But perhaps that's a bit unfair given that they were the best team for 4 weeks last year and not 22 weeks.
Numerically, compared to this time last year, yeah, halfway through this year, they're actually a worse side at the moment. So that's not even taking the premiership
out there. I wonder how their draw compares, their fixture. They're playing harder teams this year than they were last year.
Yes, they've got a much harder draw, absolutely. No doubt about that.
And that does, because it's so uneven and it's poorly weighted, that does make a difference.
The fact is that they've changed style. They're winning nowhere near as much contested ball as what they did last year. Their swarm and spread game style is not as... Well, it's not as prominent, definitely. Whether it's deliberate that they're not going in that direction remains to be seen. But this is a different-looking Dogs outfit that is scoring less and is conceding more points compared to this time last year.
Amazing going into the season, you would have thought, with Redpath coming back, Cramery coming back, Cloak coming in, Tom Boyd coming off the best game of his life in a grand final, and you could probably throw a few other names in there. You put that all together, you think they're going to become a scoring machine, and it's dropped off.
It just shows how difficult it is to stay at the top and why Hawthorn's achievement is even more remarkable than perhaps we even thought it was, because the Dogs, although they won the flag and didn't have a great home and away season, they have been the hunted all year now. And it's a lot harder to be at that position at the top rather than the hunters.
On the Roos, quickly, what's happening with Andrew Swallow and Braden Pruce at season's end? Both at different ends of the spectrum, career-wise. Both playing very good football in the VFL at the moment. Looking forward to seeing the teams on Thursday night to see what happens if both of them or one of them comes in. But will both be at the North Melbourne Football Club next year, Tommy, in your opinion?
I don't think Swallow will. I don't see why he would want to be there, and I don't see why the club would want to keep him there. He's 20. Is he almost 30? Is he 29 or 30? Braden Pruce has to be at the club next year. The North Melbourne have to keep him. He's a good player. Brad Scott's spoken about how he wants to get him in the team. The only thing that's stopping him is the simple fact that there's no sub rule anymore, and that the game doesn't lend itself to two specialist ruckmen.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I've pondered Andrew Swallow's future for much of the year. I just don't think there's a massive want out there for inside contested slow midfielders.
To be honest.
And he's been one of the best tacklers in the last decade. Outstanding human being, captain of the club. Yeah. If he can find a way to reinvent himself even for a season or two, then perhaps he can find a role either at North or somewhere else. I hope he does.
I wonder where, though. It's hard to see him finding a spot there.
Yeah, this is why I often think a mid-season trade period would really benefit clubs, even a loan system or something. Andrew could really offer something at another club right now, but committing to him for a whole season next year perhaps is less appealing to clubs.
Well, imagine if Nathan Jones gets injured for 6 weeks and you can bring Andrew Swallow in for 6 weeks. Not quite like for like, but not completely dissimilar either. He's averaging 30 disposals from 4 games in the VFL this year and 9 tackles, so his VFL form's good. But it's almost like he can do whatever he wants in the VFL and Brad Scott will still be hesitant to bring him in.
Yeah, while they've got that current combo of Zeeble, Cunnington, they want Dumont in there. They just don't want so many slow midfielders plonked in one place.
Just before we get into the tips, a quick word on Sunday's game between St Kilda and Gold Coast for the Andrew McWalter Cup. Gary Ablett plays his 300th game on Sunday. We talked about Hall of Fame members there. He's almost a certainty to go in, and the debate over whether he might actually get in before his dad is elevated to legend status is quite an interesting one. I think his dad will get there beforehand anyway. But where does he rank among maybe the greats since 2000? So we've got the likes of Voss, Herd Buckley, Robert Harvey, and then the sort of the midfielders after that with Judd, Selwood, Hodge. He's right up there in terms of this group in the 21st century that he could be the best since the turn of the century.
Been one of my favourite players to watch since I've been watching footy, and that's the biggest thumbs up I can give him from my point of view.
Can you remember in 2007 when he was running around with sort of the half-balding haircut?
The wispy hair.
Really sort of interesting setup.
You mentioned the best player since 2000, and I don't know what you're like, Drew, but Ben, I assume you're the same as me, but... my memory only goes back to 1998, so really that's our wheelhouse. That's all we can remember. I think Gary Ablett alongside Buddy Franklin as the best player I've seen. I think Judd was brilliant at West Coast, but only for a short amount of time. To me, Gary Ablett is the most consistently great player I've seen. I can't compare him to players of other eras, and it's very hard to do that anyway. But Ablett, I think we sometimes forget that Ablett consistently racked up 35 to 40 and kicked between three and five goals every single week for the best part of 6 or 7 years. And he's still doing it.
Yes.
We sometimes forget how good he is all the time. He played poorly round one. It's like the world was about to fall in. He's a superstar, Gary. And we were talking about 2 years ago on the couch, they were talking about it, him being the best player of all time. Why are those discussions dropped? Yeah. He's been a superstar for so long.
Yeah, he's back. I think he'll be at Geelong next year, Druza. Do you think he'll be at Geelong next year?
I hope he is. I think it's a great storyline.
Bob talked about it on 360 last night.
And I just want to get in before you two.
Yes.
Favorite Gary Ablett moment. Come of the moment.
Oh, gotta be. One of Dennis's great calls, actually.
I think that's his best call.
His goal. Was that his goal?
Prelim final.
Collingwood, 2007 preliminary final. One of the greatest nights
in my
life.
I was there, yes.
Yes.
Was it 4 points?
Throw in, Otten's tap.
Otten's tap. Big Brad Otten's played a very good game that night, actually.
What a goal.
Against, it might have been Chris Bryan, I think, that night.
What a goal.
I like my favourite moment. I don't know if he's got a stat for it. He may have. The little toe poke.
Received the toe poke from Scarlett,
and he just went. You can just tell him he went long, and Chapman kicked the goal in the 09 grand final 09, from memory. He's one thing that's underrated about Gary Ablett, not just his possessions, but his ability to get in the right spot and just know where the ball is and where it gets to is unbelievable.
Let's go into the tips, gentlemen, starting with Adelaide and Hawthorn, the Darren Jarman Shield on Thursday night, working our way down to St Kilda and Gold Coast on Sunday night, which will be live on Fox Footy. Thomas?
Hasn't Darren Jarman been in a good paddock of late, Drew? Superstar when he played, though. Tom Chadwick would be loving that. Adelaide, I think, will beat Hawthorn. I think Essendon will beat Sydney in a bit of an upset, I think it's fair to say, despite Essendon being above Sydney in the ladder. Collingwood, I'm going for over Port Adelaide.
Collingwood over Port?
Yeah, I still like the Pies in my own weird way. I think they almost got the job done against Melbourne, and they have to win this. It's at the MCG, which makes a big difference.
Yep.
GWS will beat Brisbane.
Luke Power Cup.
Yep. The Dogs will beat North in the Sean Higgins Shield.
Yes.
Melbourne will beat West Coast in the Phil Reid Shield. Yes. Also the Stephen Armstrong Shield, potentially. Geelong will beat Freo in the Marcus Drum Cup.
What a start.
Well done, Ben. Yes. Richmond, I'm going for over Carlton, but I'm not confident about that one. In the Sean Hampson Pennant. Megan Gale to toss the coin. And St Kilda defeat Gold Coast in the Andrew McQualter Trophy.
Yes, some big trophies to play for this weekend, Druza. Any sort of differing tips or opinions in your eyes?
Sean Edwards Cup, I'm going for between Sydney and Essendon.
Yes, excellent.
But I like Essendon as well.
So you're going for Essendon or Sydney?
Yeah, I'm going for Essendon, Adelaide, Port, I think, will win the Collingwood v.
They've got to win that, Port. They've got to win that.
The Jake Barrett Cup, Lions and Giants. I'm going for the Giants. Nathan Rovat Cup, I'm going for the Dogs. The Paul Johnson Shield, I'm going for West Coast.
He's got his own shields, Ben. He can't allow this.
I thought I'd just offer up some alternatives.
He's gone rogue.
Yes.
Geelong Free, I can't. For the life of me, cannot think of anyone other than Marcus Drum. And I don't know how you remember
Shane him. Kirsten.
Shane Kirsten's the only other one I think we could find.
I'm going for the Cats. The Tigers in the Sean Grigg Cup. And I'm going to go the Mav Weller Cup, Saints.
I like the alternatives that Drew's has thrown up, just coming off for a long bat, charge down the wicket, Michael Slater style. And
I feel like
six.
You are a rogue man, law unto yourself, and I respect that. Well done.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to have the regular crew back for the Thursday Match Committee podcast, and looking forward to a big round 14, which you can catch all on Fox Footy live every game there. You can catch Tom's work at foxfooty.com.au and, of course, Druza on AFL Tonight on Fox Sports News 500 at 5 o'clock each weeknight and on the weekend as well, and Fox Footy as well, channel 504 at 7 p.m. And remember to keep clicking back to foxfooty.com.au.